Someone pays $500 to kiss me, we're doing it.
I mean, probably less.
If someone pays $5 to kiss me, we're doing it. If someone wants to pay nothing, we're doing it.
If someone wants to kiss me, we're doing it.
I've done a lot more for a lot less.
Back to you, Bob.
Hello, and welcome to Back to You, Bob, a Dawson's Creek podcast. We are your hosts, Christina and Micah, and this is episode 304, Home Movies, which originally aired on October 20th, 1999.
October 20th, 1999. We're getting ready for Halloween.
Yeah, just another fall week. We're settled into the new year.
We're having midterms.
Homecoming is coming, or has came.
Our homecoming, I think, was in like late September.
I honestly don't remember. We didn't have like a big dance or anything.
Oh, we had a dance, yeah. But then senior year, we started picking Homecoming King and Queen and Prom King and Queen out of a hat. And I was like, what's the point?
Out of a hat? Of everybody in the class?
Yeah. Like, that's so stupid. I mean, I had no chance of winning. I wasn't popular, but at least give them that.
You're saying if you put in the work to be popular, let them have their crown?
Yeah. It's an evil popular person rite of the passage.
Indeed. Well, speaking of, this week we're drinking the homecoming. It is 1 1/4 ounce of amaretto and 1 1/4 ounce of Bailey's. And as I mentioned last episode, it's exactly the same thing as a blowjob shot. It just doesn't have the whipped cream on top.
Yeah, we like to reuse ingredients. I can't go to BevMo every week.
I mean, I could, but...
I do.
I mean, I do, but my house can only hold so many bottles.
I know. I'm fresh off my birthday, so like a lot of people sent me alcohol, which is, it's on brand and in character, but I just kind of don't really socialize like I used to. So
sure,
it's going to last me longer than it used to.
Bountiful, plentiful. Spring is here.
Spring has sprung.
The pantry is full.
Pantry is full. Okay, so I'm going to dive into the recap. So episode 304 opens in Dawson's bedroom where he is with Pacey. Dawson tells Pacey that his mom, Gail, is doing some human interest stories in Philly at the news station. If he can get her footage by Friday, then she'll run his story on the news. Pacey thinks this is a great opportunity to mix up genres. Real life stories can be better than scripted sometimes. They're more thrilling, they're more sexy, they're more far-fetched. Dawson tells Pacey that he actually has something in mind. He wants to do a story on Jack, gay football extraordinaire. Now, the big backdrop of this episode is this huge football game on Saturday. It's the first game of the season. So Dawson puts in a home movie, and we see some footage from his childhood where Mitch is throwing little Dawson a football. And then it cuts to a young Dawson meeting Joey for the very first time. Dawson gets his interview with Jack, but when it comes to interviewing his dad, Mitch is too wrapped up in getting the team ready for the game to give Dawson an interview. So when Dawson finally does get his dad alone, Mitch can't believe that Dawson would want to do something about the team to air on the news. His team doesn't need that type of attention or pressure. When Dawson asks Mitch what he thought he's been doing this whole week, Mitch said he thought it was part of a school project. Dawson accuses his dad of not listening to him, and Mitch tells Dawson that if he wants to do the right thing, then he'll stop with this story. Dawson says that this is his passion and his dream, and Mitch tells Dawson that he's only 16 and he needs to relax. So Dawson, meanwhile, drops a VHS tape off to Joey and gets her advice on his situation. And Dawson actually does end up submitting the story to Gail. It runs on the news and Mitch is livid. Not only does it totally exploit Jack, but it gives the other team an insight into Mitch's team and what's going on in Mitch's head and Jack's head, and it totally paints a bullseye on Jack. Mitch cannot believe that Dawson would be so stupid and so selfish. Dawson had no idea that's why Mitch didn't want him to run the story. He didn't know Mitch felt this way. Mitch said he thought it was a no-brainer. Dawson never meant to hurt Jack. A lot of things come up in this fight, and Dawson says that he believes Mitch would have been happier with a son more like the kids he's coaching and less like Dawson. Mitch says at some point Dawson's going to have to grow up and start paying attention to the people around him. Dawson tells Mitch that he is a grown-up. In fact, he's the only grown-up around here. He acts more like an adult than Mitch does, and he's sick of it. So at the game, it looks like Mitch is right. Jack's being targeted by the other team. He's a bullseye, and they're destroying the Capeside Minutemen. Dawson feels guilty. And at halftime, he and Jen, go to the locker room with the other cheerleaders, and they end up putting full faces of makeup on all the football players and putting mud all over their jerseys so the team can't figure out who's who and they can't target Jack anymore. So now that everyone is in disguise, the Capeside Minutemen end up getting their first victory. When it comes to Jen in this episode, Grams is trying to convince her to take this whole cheerleading thing seriously, but Jen has about had enough. And when she finds out that the cheerleading squad is auctioning off a kiss with her, the head cheerleader, that's the straw that breaks the camel's back and she quits. But then she learns the proceeds go to help orphans, and with some coaxing from Grams, Jen agrees to the kiss. But she's still done being head cheerleader. After the game, it turns out that the highest bidder and the winner of the kiss is Henry, the freshman quarterback, who, as we know, has a crush on Jen. She asks him in front of everyone how he got the $500 to win this kiss, and he tells her that he sold his precious good luck charm, a used mouthpiece from a football player that he and his brother saw when he was little. He tells Jen that she really doesn't have to go through with the kiss because everyone's watching and it's silly. But Jen says that Henry won fair and square, and she plants a big kiss on him and it changes his life. And while she might not be head cheerleader anymore, she is named Homecoming Queen, and it is her living nightmare. So Andy, meanwhile, has a little runner in this episode, and it's all about the guilt she's feeling from cheating on the PSATs last week. She's afraid Principal Green is onto her and knows the truth when he asks to speak with her privately on Monday. But it turns out he just wants her to found and run a disciplinary committee that he's starting. So Pacey and Joey, meanwhile, get to talking, and they feel like they're in some weird parallel universe where everyone has school spirit except for the two of them. Pacey convinces Joey to live a little and skip school with him and go on an adventure. They pick up a mysterious package from the post office, but then end up getting busted by Principal Green, and they don't make it much further than that. As a punishment, they have to dress up as a mascot for the game on Saturday, but they end up convincing underclassmen to do it for them, and they sneak out. So Pacey takes Joey to show her what the big surprise is, his latest purchase. It's a boat, an old rundown fixer-upper that he plans on repairing himself. And the mysterious package that they picked up is actually a sign with the name of the boat on it, True Love. Pacey puts Joey to work and they start sanding and fixing the boat together. After the game, Dawson and Mitch reconnect after their big fight. Mitch tells Dawson that it's not his place to give Dawson advice because that would mean Mitch knows what's going to happen and he knows the entire future and he doesn't. All he could do is give Dawson the tools that he feels like he needs to navigate it. And Dawson should never let anyone stand in the way of his dreams, not even Mitch. Dawson says Mitch always taught him to think for himself and do what he thought was right, and that's what he did this week. So they start tossing the ball on the field, just like they did in the home movie in the cold open, and it actually cuts to that same video, and we see Dawson and Mitch playing from years earlier. And then we see footage of Joey and Dawson as little kids, and we pull out to reveal that Joey is watching it at her house. That's the gift that Dawson brought Joey in the middle of the episode. And she smiles, and it's super cute. And that is episode 304 Home Movies.
Dawson's hair hasn't changed a bit.
The kids they got to play them are so cute.
They are really cute.
Well, who wrote it? Who directed it?
This episode was written by Jeffrey Stepakoff. He is new to us this season, as we've discussed, and we'll continue to discuss. There was a big shakeup in the writer's room this year, and he's one of the people who came in. He is a producer on this season. Next season, he's a supervising producer, and in season 5, he's a co-EP, so he stays with us. He writes 10 episodes of Dawson's, so we'll be seeing a lot from him going forward. But he has a handful of other credits, including Major Dad, The Wonder Years, Flipper, Hyperion Bay, just a solid 90s writer. And I think that this was a really good episode. This one stands out to me. Like, the Doug Flutie mouthpiece is something that, to me, is Dawson season 3. And it's a pretty small piece, but it's just one of those things. That's the whole reason I knew who Doug Flutie was.
Yeah, see, that holds no significance to me. That's why I didn't mention it in the recap, but that is a famous person.
He's a football player, yeah.
Great, yeah. We love that.
This episode was directed by Nick Mark. This is his second of 2 episodes of Dawson's Creek, so this is the last time he'll be with us. Last season, he directed Sex, She Wrote, which is one of our faves. So if you'd like to hear more about him, you can go back and check out that episode.
Love.
Love.
There was a lot going on in this episode, and I appreciated that.
Yeah.
Nothing felt dropped. Like last season, we were like checking in with people. This episode, it felt like, you know, everyone had like a good little story that had a beginning, middle, and end. And I liked that.
They keep everybody afloat the whole episode.
Yeah.
I feel like we talked about that last episode as well. It was pretty well-rounded for everybody, which is cool.
Yeah. So who is going to get our guest cast shout out?
There isn't really anyone this episode. I'm just going to shout out Aubrey Dollar, who plays Marcy, who's one of the cheerleaders. Not Madison, not the main one who takes over responsibilities as the head cheerleader, but Marcy, the other speaking cheerleader. She's just like a small character in our series, but she's a working actress. She was on 30 episodes of Guiding Light. She was in Failure to Launch, Point Pleasant, Woman's Murder Club, Big Arcs, 13 episodes. The Good Life, Person of Interest, Blue Bloods, Weeds. She was in 10 episodes of that show, Filthy Rich, which I never watched, but I really wanted to. That was out a few years ago. And last year, she was in the Netflix movie Pain Hustlers with Emily Blunt and Chris Evans. So, you know, she's out there. She's working. I feel like she's the majority of actors like we talk about are just people who kind of fly under the radar and are in a ton of stuff. And she's one of them. So just wanted to give her a shout out. She's with us for 5 episodes of Dawson's Creek.
Yeah, I believe she's the lead of Point Pleasant.
She might be.
Point Pleasant, small town, Jersey Shore. A girl arrives, supernatural. She has like a secret. It's like Buffy meets Jersey Shore. I was into it.
I never watched, but I should because I brought you to Point Pleasant when you came to visit me.
I know.
We went there.
I want to say it was a Fox summer show. So maybe it was like a short-lived summer show, but no, I was very into like a supernatural soap in the 90s. We loved that. But I also know from Guiding Light. Horse, Aubrey Dollar. I would say it's a good guest cast shout out.
Thanks. Music moment. Do you have anything?
The closing song.
It's called I Do by Jude.
Yes. I was big into Jude. Not big into Jude, but he was on the WB circuit. So I think he had songs in Felicity and this. And he was on my like LimeWire Winamp rotation for sure. My MP3 player, my Zune or whatever it was called.
He has 2 songs in this episode, actually. One is called I'm Sorry Now, which is when Andy is in the principal's office. And then another when, like you're saying, when they're watching the home movies at the end. And I do remember that home movie song because it was very on the nose, but in a good way. It was like talking about a little boy meets a little girl kind of thing.
Yeah.
Cute.
It was cute. Yeah, we're in an era where the music moments aren't really buzzy memorable, but... Oh, they will be again. Oh, yes.
And they're still, even though they're not like big, splashy, imprinty, they fit the tone of the show. And like, they're Dawsons.
Mm-hmm.
Past versus present.
I have to say past versus present. I truly have nothing this episode. How about you?
The only thing that I was thinking about is the first time around, I feel like this Mitch Dawson fight came out of nowhere for me. Like, it was building in this episode, but it wasn't really anything beyond that. And now in this rewatch, there's a lot building between them last season. Dawson is really, he lays into his dad a lot in season 2. He does not withhold his commentary about how he feels about Mitch in season 2. And I can see that grating on Mitch, you know, like Dawson's been pretty harsh. So I know that that's not what the fight was about, but I do think their relationship may have been a little bit more strained going into this season than I realized initially.
Yeah, Mitch has that line, you know, you don't respect me.
Yeah, and I think it's true.
And Dawson has made a lot of cracks about Mitch not having a job and Mitch not being a breadwinner. Yeah, Dawson's been out of line a lot, as we've discussed.
That was it.
Nice. Well, shall we open it up?
Let's open it up.
Well, first of all, no Eve this episode.
No, we don't know where she is. She could be anywhere.
Dawson dumped her and she's just MIA. Maybe we'll see her again. Maybe we won't. We will. But not in this one. So it's just our main cast. Love a Dawson Pacey friendship opener.
Especially.
They got into a little fight last week.
Coming off the fight.
Maybe this is the night of the PSCTs. We don't know. Probably not because they don't have their shiners. But look, we can dream. And Joshua Jackson's just playing it cool in this cold open. He looks good. He's a little like cool guy, hands behind his head.
Cool guy. He actually is wearing a nice fitting button up. I feel like him and Dawson both wear pretty big button ups generally. It's looking good.
Yeah, I just don't know what it is with these kids putting their shoes on the bed. I mean, I guess his shoes technically aren't on the bed, but he's laying on the bed with his sandals on.
Is that something that you were aware of your whole life? I feel like in high school, I may have not really realized how gross that was.
Yeah, I think so. Like, we weren't a big, like, you could wear shoes in the house kind of a thing, but like in the bedroom, I feel like that's so weird. I don't know. Why would you do that?
Probably not in my own bedroom, but if I was like visiting somebody, I could see myself mindlessly just sitting there. Look, I'm a heathen. I don't know what to tell you.
Just like Pacey Witter
Yeah.
stealing PSATs.
I know that this is not a thing and whatever, but it annoyed me so much that when they put on the whole movie had coverage and it was edited. And that drives me nuts. So basically, we've talked about it. Coverage means there's like there was an angle on Joey and there was an angle on Dawson. So that means, in theory, in this moment where Joey and Dawson are meeting each other, there were two people with cameras pointing one at Joey and pointing one at Dawson. And then somebody cut them together. So now I'm just picturing, like, on the other side of the camera, Mike Potter and Gail each holding a camcorder, like capturing the beginning of this relationship.
Yeah.
Anyway, as someone who knows the logistics, it drove me nuts.
That's very inside baseball. So that you notice that the home movie was edited versus just one angle going back. The camera wasn't moving. They literally just cut back and forth between two cameras.
Which would never happen.
I did not notice, but you're absolutely right.
And I know nobody cares, and I need to get over it. But I just had to say it out loud.
So we're seeing Lillian Potter, Joey's mother,
We are.
who's no longer with us. RIP. But we are seeing Dawson and Joey meet. That's history. Okay. Wow.
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 Who would have thought?
And she shoves Dawson to the ground, and Pacey was like, once a heartbreaker, always a heartbreaker, or something to that effect. He says, is that who I think it is?
Cute, cute, cute.
He asks her to go on a mission with him, skip school. She's reluctant, but then she does it. They pick up a
It was
package.
a very cute episode for them.
Very cute. But I like that they're friends.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just living in the friendship moment right now, and I'm enjoying it.
Definitely.
They have good chemistry.
They pick up a package. We don't know what it is.
We don't know what it is, but they get busted by Principal Green and they have to go back to school.
Trying to hitchhike. Classic. Pacey stumbles out of the woods holding a ton of poison oak. And it actually made me laugh so much. Principal Green said, I hope you aren't lacking in the calamine lotion department. How you said calamine lotion? It was like 17 syllables. Calamine lotion.
So funny. They are bickering like an old married couple. We love. We're living. What do you think? Why do you think Joey skipped school? What was that about? He just is convincing?
I think so. And I think coming off of the last episode, we know that she's had a lot of pressure on her, and we know that she's been like, she's definitely relying on her academics to get her through her life because she has no money. That's like her whole thing. So maybe she just wanted to let loose a little bit. She got through the PSATs, needed to blow off some steam.
For sure.
The like red and not red and blue, that's my high school. Yellow and blue all over was driving her kooky. They were both over it. Just wanted to get out of there.
100%. And then their punishment for skipping school is they need to play the mascot at the game on Saturday. They argue over who's going to be the head and who's going to be the butt. And it's super cute.
Stacy's like, I gotta warn you, I get car sick in the back seat.
And then when the mascot brings the winner of the auction in to kiss it. The mascot is a horse. It is not a Minuteman. It's a horse. And Henry rides the horse in to kiss Jen. We then reveal that it's not Pacey and Joey under the horse. It is underclassmen that they paid off or something. And they're actually over at the boat. So we see the true love.
But it was well cast because you don't see their faces right away, the underclassmen, and they maybe him more than her, the voices could have been Joey and Pacey, I feel like.
Totally. It was a good reveal.
It was. They go to the boat and she's like, "What did you do? You're an idiot."
And he says, I'm going to fix it up and I'm going to sail this boat.
I loved him in that scene. She's like, "You can't sail the world in a 20-foot boat. How long is it going to take you to fix it up?" And he goes, "Not a minute more or a minute less than it's going to take me."
Yes. And she says, permission to come aboard. And he says, permission granted, which will come back later. Clock it. Clock it for now. Also, I just love that in the background you see Pacey's dad's police car. Like, I just love how committed they are to that. It's not a plot point, but they just know in a Pacey car scene, it has to be his family Jeep that he steals or his dad's police car.
And they mention it in this scene too. Joey's like, "Why are we walking?" And he's like, "Well, sometimes my dad has to use his car."
Yeah, in the earlier scene when they're Yeah. They get the mysterious package. They're walking.
I got a little flutter looking at that true love sign, I do have to say. He pulls out he names the boat True Love, and that's what they were picking up, as you said.
Yeah.
Just seeing the sign brought back the feels.
So Pacey's arc this season will be repairing the boat. The boat is going to be like a good metaphor storyline for Pacey. He's fixing it. And this is a little bond that he and Joey have.
It's very cute. We leave them and he's made her start sanding the boat. Adorable.
Adorbs.
Switching gears. I really liked. So Dawson decides to do this story on Jack. And Dawson's like, so like, were you into football growing up? And Jack's like, I just started playing football a few weeks ago. The only thing I know less about than playing football is being gay. Like, I just like that reminder of like, Jack's still figuring himself out. Like, he's come out as gay, but he doesn't know what he's doing. He's like, he's just figuring it out as he goes. I don't know. I love Jack.
I mean, how could you forget? They say he's gay 50 times an episode.
Well, especially in these football episodes.
Yeah.
What do they call him? What does the one guy call him when he tackles him? Limp wrist something?
Oh my God.
I forget what he says.
Yeah, Jack's figuring it out. It's Cape Side, so there, in theory, are no other gay people or not a lot of gay people.
At least not out.
Not out. Jack is new friends with the freshman quarterback, Henry. Henry just loves Jen, love at first sight. Jack's like, look, if you want a chance with her, you're going to have to like say hello. You're going to have to like say words to her. Because if you remember last week, he was going to run up to her and say hi, and he ended up running past her. And Jen is up for an auction kiss.
Which is wild. How 90s.
How 90s. We love a date auction storyline. I mean, I do. Yeah, a kissing booth. Like, we love a kissing booth moment.
For sure.
Henry is regaling the boys with the story about how he got Nick Flutie, Doug Flutie.
Doug.
Doug Flutie's mouth guard at a football game that he and his brother went to. They ran down to the field and got it. It's his good luck charm. But he sold that mouthpiece to get the $500, so he doesn't have the good luck charm for Saturday's game, and they still win.
He's got something better.
You know what that tells you? You make your own luck, okay? You make your own luck.
Oh, Micah just lit his whole apartment on fire and ran out.
We make our own luck, okay? Like Henry.
I like that. Let's bring that energy into our new year. And by new year, I mean you just had a birthday and I just had a birthday, kind of.
Yeah. Aries and Taurus.
Yeah, boy.
Big Taurus energy.
The sleepiest energy there is.
Henry and Jen are cute, 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 cute. She says when she finds out that he sold his mouth guard, she says, I don't know whether to gag or be honored.
And it's especially cute because he says, you don't have to if you don't want to. And you could tell like he means it. And she's like, oh, and then she does it.
If someone pays $500 to kiss me, we're doing it.
I mean, probably less.
If someone pays $5 to kiss me, we're doing it. If someone wants to pay nothing, we're doing it.
If someone wants to kiss me, we're doing it.
I've done a lot more for a lot less. I mean, it was kind of weird that everyone was watching, but you know, if you're into that.
Yeah. I mean, Jen likes to bounce, so.
You know, Jen likes to bounce. Oh, Abby, RIP.
Should we zig to Andy or should we zag to Mitch and Dawson?
Let's zag to Andy.
But that wasn't one of the choices.
Let's zig to Andy.
So Andy is going through it this episode. What's your take? What's your take as a former Andy yourself?
I feel like she should be going through it because she did something wrong and the guilt is eating her alive. And it all starts because she sees someone from the educational testing service walking the halls and she runs into him and he is being super shady and weird. It's like almost like a sitcom character.
So shady.
And she is convinced that he learned that there was cheating. And then Principal Green asks to speak with Andy on Monday and she's sure she's caught. And she spirals all weekend. She skips her brother's football game to practice her confession to Principal Green in the mirror. And then he ends up being like, what are you talking about? What do you have to confess? And she's like, what are you talking about? And he says, I wanted you to head the disciplinary committee I'm about to found. And then she's like, okay, never mind. Yeah, I'm just impatient. And that's my confession. I'm impatient. And then she goes to Jack because while she's in the middle of her spiral, she's talking to Jack and Jack thinks it's about him being gay in the football team. And she's like, What is Dad going to think? I've let him down. This decision's going to ruin our lives. And he thinks it's about him being gay on the football team.
Well, because she's talking about herself, but she's framing it as him. She's like, yes. What will Dad do if you go through with this story? And he's like, what do you mean? Like, it's wild. If I were Jack, I would be like, ugh.
She's projecting. But then she meets up with him at the end after all this is over. And she's like, wait, did you win? Who won?
Yeah. No, first she's like, yeah, everything's going to be fine and everything's great. And I don't know what I was worried about. Wait, did you win? It's like, Andy. And Jack says, you're giving me whiplash. What's happening?
She's bipolar.
It's true. He should have said, have you taken your meds?
Did you take your 100 milligrams of Xanax? Or is it 20 milligrams?
It was a lot. I don't know. mine is 2.5. So.
Yeah, that was good. So Andy's just providing some, I think, some levity.
But she's also, you know, being Andy. She's a lot. She's always been a lot, though.
How dare you? Leave Andy alone.
Leave Brittany alone.
So now that we're a few episodes in, we talked about this in 301 a little, but not enough.
Mm.
Britney Spears was supposed to have a cameo this season. Who do you think she was supposed to play?
Maybe one of the cheerleaders?
That's what I was thinking.
Is that too on the nose?
That's what I was thinking. I mean, it feels on the nose, but they were doing new things this season, you know?
Yeah, I'm trying to think ahead as to who she could have played.
Like maybe she was Belinda. Yeah. I don't know. A cheerleader.
Mm, yeah.
Before Jen usurped her.
Or even Morgan, like or whatever her name was in this episode, who takes over. His head cheerleader.
Marsha. I don't know, but you don't think she was like Eve, do you?
No. Oh my God, that would be awful. She is not a good actress.
She's funny on How I Met Your Mother.
She is, you're right.
But it's like not, very, yeah.
She wouldn't be Eve. She could never.
Well, we've all seen, whatchamacallit?
Crossroads.
Yes, written by Shonda Rhimes. Not a lot of people know that that's written by Shonda Rhimes.
That was like her first big thing, right?
Yeah. And then it led to Grey's Anatomy.
Who would have thought?
I mean, Britney's great in that.
Yeah, but that's a natural role for her, I feel like.
Yeah. Well, if anyone knows who Britney Spears was supposed to play.
If anyone knows Britney Spears, please give her our email address.
Please don't. Her and her knives. Oh my God. My favorite video is when she was like, I'm working out in the kitchen because, well, I burned my gym down. She said it so casually. I burned it down and yeah, so cool.
And she has all that little furniture, the little tiny furniture.
Well, give her the podcast email. Don't give her my personal email.
Do you think everybody's walking around with your personal email?
Maybe.
You never know.
So I worked on a Disney Channel show where the star was on like, whatever, on Hannah Montana, whatever. Who cares? But one of Britney's kids wanted to see the show, so she came to set. And I feel like they deliberately kept me from set because they knew I would want to talk to her.
She was there?
She came with her kids. Yeah, they like closed the set.
Oh, how rude.
I know. I could have met Britney like before the, you know, drums.
I worked on a sitcom and Kim Kardashian did a cameo and I didn't go to set to meet her because I didn't respect her at the time. This was like early days of Kardashian, Keeping Up with the Kardashians. And, you know, we all feel a certain way about the Kardashians, but now I'm like, wish I just said hello.
Yeah, I love the Kardashians now. I just got all my Lemmy products.
Have you started your Lemmys?
I started the ones that I got for my birthday, the Lemmy Burn.
Exciting.
So it should be is Zag to the Learys.
Let's zag, baby. What's your take? What's your take on the fight?
I have to say I do kind of side with Mitch a little bit. But again, you know, if my parent tells me not to do something, I don't do it. That's just how I am. I'm not like a defiant. I wasn't a defiant, you know, child.
And he says, Mitch says to Dawson, I'm trying to break you out of your self-centered, self-righteous fantasy world long enough to notice like other people.
Right.
And I feel like that's what we've been saying or what I've been saying for the last two seasons. It's all Dawson all the time. And I'm not saying that. Obviously, it doesn't help that we didn't see it, but I'm imagining a world where Dawson told his dad in explicit detail how excited he was about the prospect of getting something on television. But fucking Dawson.
I feel like they're trying to acknowledge yours and a lot of fans' feedback on Dawson. You know, that he is selfish and he is self-centered. And I think they're trying to acknowledge that note. because I'm sure these new writers thought Dawson was pretty insufferable themselves.
And Mitch could have approached it differently, but also, like, Dawson's like, this is my career and you're coming after me. And it's like, no, Dawson, this is your father's career. This is his very first game as the coach of this team. It's just like classic Dawson, you know?
Yeah, again, I was a sneaky kid, but I wasn't a defiant kid. So if my parents ever found something out and they told me not to do it, I wouldn't. Also, I feel like I would be very emotionally invested in my parents' new job, you know?
Sure.
Like, if your parent took over as your high school's coach, wouldn't you get in? I would get into it a little bit and I would be
rooting for them.
Yeah, and at first Mitch doesn't know what Dawson's story is and he's not really paying attention, but I just attribute that to, like, Mitch being really busy and overwhelmed right now. He's a single parent. He's, you know, I don't see that as Mitch being a bad parent. I see that as Mitch being really overwhelmed with his current job.
Totally.
Mitch is a freaking paragon, okay? Of parenthood, of fatherhood, of sexiness. There's one point where Dawson's interviewing Jack. Jack's sitting on like a pad, like a big padded thing. And Mitch just puts his foot up on it. And it's not like he puts his crotch in Jack's face. But I'm just saying, as a gay person with Mitch Leary putting, you'd look or something.
He's a presence. Mitch is a presence.
He's a big, strong bull.
In his coaching polo. It's good.
Yeah, and then I don't know if you noticed, but once he puts his foot down, like, the shorts don't really fall. They stay, like, stuck up in his crotch. Just something to, if you're into that.
I didn't notice, but I'll go back and take a look.
If you're into Mitch's crotch, that scene is for you.
This is another thing that's, like, inside baseball-y and, like, whatever, we don't care, we're suspending our disbelief. But if Gail's doing this story, wouldn't it only air in Philadelphia? It's not going to get to Massachusetts.
Yep, I thought of that.
Anyway.
I didn't know if there was something I missed where, like, Gail was going to edit it, but then, like, her contact at the
give
old
it to
station.
Her. Yeah. Maybe. And I mean, I guess it is conceivable that Mitch was just upset because Dawson interviewed the coach for the other team and therefore put Jack on his radar, like, you know.
Absolutely.
But I don't think everyone would see it.
And I'm sure Mitch has some feelings of, like, Gail, you know, that, like, you know, he's sure. Like, your mother's going to air this? Like, what? This has to do with your mother?
Yeah.
Dawson's probably not an easy kid to parent. You know, he's just so judgy.
He's honestly the worst. I can't stand him.
But they make up at the end. It's super cute. He says, the night you were born, I cried like a baby.
He goes, you did? I didn't know that.
I cried for 24 hours straight. You were so small. I never thought I could love anything so much. It's cute.
He's like, parenting a son is hard. And Dawson's like, so is being one.
Yeah, that was deep. Then Mitch says, you know, it's not my job to give you advice because that would mean that I know everything and I don't. I could just guide you the best way I can and give you the tools to make the best decisions. And with the tools that I've given you, you decided to not listen to me this week. And you should not listen to anyone if that's how you feel, not even me. And then they throw the ball. They throw the pigskin.
They toss around the pigskin.
I want to give a shout out to Set Deck this season. They're killing it with all the pep rally, school pride, Cape Side, Minutemen. Oh my God. It must be exhausted.
Yeah. It feels very full. It feels very real. It's not like skimpy.
Like, they have to dress the football field, the Minutemen sign, all of that is their job. And they're killing it.
Killing it. Felt like the appropriate amount of extras, like a small crowd, but not so small that it's not believable. I remember the makeup, like the face, they're all made up faces, the football players, so well. That's an image that stands out to me from this season.
Yes, when Jen and Dawson and the cheerleading squad do makeup on everyone's faces so they look super similar and just they're just caked by the pound. Is that the phrase?
I don't know that phrase. What does the phrase cake by the pound mean? Cake by the pound means butts.
Well, then that's not the phrase.
Like caked on?
Caked on. But Beyonce said cake by the pound. I always thought it meant she was like made up. Anyway, Dawson has a lava lamp.
Dawson does have a lava lamp.
And it's red. His would be red.
Mine was yellow.
Mine is blue.
Oh, I don't know if I chose it. I think I got it as a gift.
I was going to say yellow. Yikes. I'd rather red.
But yeah, they block out all their numbers and they put on all this makeup and it's just cute. I like I like that. Obviously, they want to win. It's not like all just in support of Jack, but they are, the team is there. The team's there to support Jack. They're like, yeah, whatever we got to do, let's do it. We'll put on this makeup.
Yeah.
And they do it. They pull it out.
The team does not care that Jack is a homosexual.
No, the other team does. And that's why they lost.
Yeah. Because they're homophobic and rude, quite frankly.
Quite frankly, rude. This is going back to something we were talking about before, but I remember thinking the scene or the shot, there's a oneer, which is one camera shot, what goes around Andy and she's reciting her apology. Mm-hmm. We come to find out she's reciting it in the mirror, but I do remember thinking it was real. I think something about like the blinds or the lighting or the background, it felt like she was in an office to me.
Yeah. The reason that I didn't think it was real this time, because I truly didn't remember, was that I knew it was a Saturday and I knew she couldn't be in the principal's office.
Mm.
I mean, she could have, I guess, but.
Could you?
I remember I was like, wait, is this real? No, this can't be real. It's a Saturday. But that's what I love about this season. I know the broad strokes, but I forget the details. And it's so fun to watch because it kind of comes back to me. I remember like as it's happening, but I don't.
That is fun.
Season 5 and 6, when we get there, I'll be watching for the second time ever because I didn't rewatch those.
I'm not going to remember a thing. I wonder if that's your writer's brain that clocked and remembered that it was Saturday.
Yeah, maybe.
Because I would have had no idea. But maybe I'm just not an attentive watcher.
When Dawson goes to Joey for advice and he gives her the VHS, he asks about like her advice on what to do with the dad. And she says some weird shit about like, you have to decide whether to do that to your father or like break your father's heart. I don't know. I couldn't follow.
Yeah. And then they were like, were they talking about Shakespeare or Freud?
He says, I don't want to kill my father. And she says, well, I'm sorry to break it to you, but Freud says like, that's your fate. But here's the other thing. It's very easy to miss. But Joey tells Dawson in that scene that it is going to be a nationally televised broadcast.
Oh!
So that's why, even though she works in Philly, Gail works in Philly, but everyone will see it.
So whatever a big network her station is an affiliate of would broadcast it across all of their territories.
Yeah, and like to Mitch's point that Dawson doesn't respect him, in this scene with Joey, he's like, yeah, like my dad's restaurant dreams went up in smoke and like his wife left him and he's not killing it as a substitute teacher. Like, he's so rude. Would you ever talk about your parent this way?
And I would probably be like, I can't do this to my dad because he needs a win. Like, I need to help. I need to support my father in this way and not do this. That would be my instinct.
Yeah.
But maybe that's saying something about me. I don't know.
And she was like, yeah, you have to choose whether to fight your father or respect him. And if you fight them, sometimes you lose them forever. Referencing how she turned her dad in.
Yeah.
But she says, like, this is a Greek play. And he's like, is this a comedy or a tragedy? Oh, shut up. Shut up.
The way Joey looks in that scene, she's wearing like a button up, like a gas shirt with her name on it, like a garage shirt.
A mechanic. A mechanic.
I could not find the word.
It's so funny because when I reference her job in the recaps, I never know what to call it. Like, is it a boat station? Is it a gas dock? Is it a boat gas station? I never know really what the term is.
I think it's a boat gas story. I don't know. We have tons of them in my little town, but I don't know what they're called either. But I always think like, oh, it's like casual and cute. And I always think that that's what I look like when I get dressed. I never look like that. I like throw on a button up and I look like a potato.
Katie's glowing this season. We've talked about it. She's sun-kissed. She has a little haircut.
They all do. They all look good. So many crimps. On the cheerleading squad. Jen, yeah.
I know.
They're all crimping their hair.
Andy being in the principal's office and like the guidance counselor's office, just like collecting flyers. That is so me. I mean, that was so me.
Really?
Yeah. I loved like,
I don't even know what you're talking about.
I love to hand out like, are you ready for college? Like, you know, I love to go.
Like a pamphlet.
I loved a pamphlet.
What about now when you go to the doctors? Do you like to?
No.
Oh. God, no. You never looked so appalled.
No, now I don't like, well, I'm going to get shit for this, but I really don't like clutter. I don't like things.
Sure.
I just don't like I don't have anything on my wall. I don't like to bring unnecessary paper into my house. I throw things out almost immediately. Receipts, never. Like, I'm just not a big paper person.
I have the opposite problem where like, I don't want things. Like, I'm not going to go to the dollar store and spend like $1 million on something that costs a dollar. But if I go somewhere and they're giving out stuff for free, I'm taking one of everything.
Wait, you're not going to spend $1 million on things that cost a dollar?
Well, like, I'm not going to, like, if you
you're not going to buy a million things at the dollar store just because they're right, a dollar.
Like,
gotcha.
If you put a pair of sunglasses in front of me and we're like, they're only a dollar, I'd be like, well, I don't need them. I don't want them. If you put the same pair of sunglasses in front of me and tell me that they're free, I'll be like, sure. Can I have two pair, actually? Thank you. That's it. Something about a free thing just triggers in my brain. And now I have, you know, a box full. I literally the other day had six people over and we were all sitting around my table wearing three pairs of sunglasses that I just had in a drawer because I was like, what else am I going to do with these?
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Like if I'm at a music festival, if I'm at a food truck, if I'm anywhere and they're like, hey, have this swag. Yeah, I will have this swag. Thank you. Where like, will I ever use it? Will I ever want it? No, it's just sitting in my house. You would hate it. And that's something that I'm working on.
We love a self-aware queen. Well, that's all I got. It was a cute episode. Didn't change my game, but we're living.
Cute episode. I like that Jen and Henry have exchanged words. Finally, that's a big hump that we were working to get over. It's a good
one.
We
love that someone is just solely dedicated to Jen.
Yes. Jen needs something good.
A dick.
Catch a dick.
And maybe she'll get it. I don't know. We'll have to see.
It's a steamy kiss, to be honest.
Yeah, there's like slow-mo.
Yeah.
So what are we going to drink next week for episode 305?
305.
Indian summer.
We will be drinking the Big Sister. You'll need cranberry juice, orange juice, ginger beer, citrus vodka, simple syrup, and some lime juice. Sounds good. I'm excited. This sounds like a good summer drink.
Sounds very refreshing. I'm into it.
Me too.
That's a good one. I remember that one a little bit.
Yeah.
I remember that's the first time I ever heard the term Indian summer and I learned what it was.
And it's just hot or?
It's like when summer weather presents itself in the fall, you know, later than it should.
Oh, got it.
It's probably really insensitive
racist.
Now. Yeah.
Sure. All right. Great.
Love that. Well, that's it for this.
We will talk to you guys next week. Bye.